LA Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
We on? Can you hear me?
Hey, Joan. Yes.
I think we're on. We're waiting for Bruce to come on. I'm sorry. I thought a little technical difficulty there. Welcome, everybody, to LA Talk Radio, the Concierge Coaches Show. And we are thrilled today to have a coach on with us, Joanne Richardson, who does business coaching, started with executive coaching. And we are really pleased to have you here today. We really appreciate you taking the time to jump on the show with us today, Joan. So tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, my background is business operations and helping run businesses. And in doing so, I myself got a business coach and loved the process, learned so much about it, and eventually became a business coach myself. And it's funny because once you're in the process, you realize that, or I did at least, that in my many jobs, I was always a coach and trainer by default. Not that it was part of my job description, but that's what I did. So it was a natural progression for me.
It came naturally to you.
Yes, I just loved helping people and helping them achieve whatever it is that they needed. And from there, in coaching service professionals, I kept seeing where they had gaps in their business and needed help. They were amazing practitioners at whatever it was that they did, whether it was, writing briefs as a lawyer or banking. Or making widgets, whatever it was, they were amazing at that, but not everybody is good at running a business.
Right, exactly.
So I kind of moved into coaching on the business side. So the same, acronym, I'm a business coach, but I literally coach them in their business.
So when you were, your background was in business operations, what industry did you grow up in or work in primarily?
Real estate in all variations and sizes. So commercial real estate, residential real estate. I'm going to date myself here, worked for the RTC back in the day, back when all the savings and loans failed. The Residential Trust Corporation. Yeah.
Now, do you find yourself coaching in that industry? Because I noticed you mentioned different.
Yeah, a lot of service professionals. So lawyers, bankers, financial planners, anyone, and just like coaches, we don't have widgets that we sell. We sell our services. So anyone that has a service, not that I don't coach other people in small businesses, but that is just where I started in coaching.
So, right. And I heard you say that you, at one point when you were doing business operations, you decided to get a business coach. How did that come about?
Yeah. Well, at that point, I was in the residential real estate realm. And I was, of course, a buyer's agent, seller's agent. But I also, at the same time, was the managing broker and the franchise administrator. So I wore all these different hats. And yeah. When it came time to start training everybody, I'm the one that everyone looked to. So I needed coaching and, you know, just juggling all of those roles. I love doing that. So, and it really helped me. And then that was in Tennessee at the time, and I moved back to Texas and moved into a different role, but back into commercial real estate. So I was director of operations for a commercial real estate firm that I had worked with previously and ran all of their offices across the country.
Wow. So that's a big job.
Yeah. And, my coach at the time decided she was going to scale her business and start certifying coaches in her practice, her methodology. And she was looking for somebody in Texas and asked me, and I said, oh my gosh, I would love that because I know the process. I know it works. It's amazing. I want to do that.
That's
I just
awesome.
Thought it would be something that I would do on the side and started doing it and just fell in love with it. So
yeah, it does. Know. It grabs hold of you, doesn't it? It's just like hanging up the phone and really knowing you were there for somebody and helping them move forward. It's a really great feeling. So that's exciting that you got a coach, which led you to an opportunity in coaching. I love that story.
Mm-hmm.
And how did coaching serve you at that point in your life? What was your biggest takeaway?
After I became a coach, you mean?
No. When you first sought coaching yourself, what was the value to you at the time?
It was actually just being able to talk to somebody outside of my office, because, I'm sure you guys run into this all the time. It's hard for somebody that's in an office environment or a firm or wherever it is to talk to somebody else in that office about any issues and troubles that they're having, because they don't want to be looked at as having any kind of weaknesses or issues.
Mm-hmm.
So having that person that you can use as a sounding board and that has experience, and it's kind of removed from the situation, so they have a different perspective.
Detached.
Exactly.
Confidentially.
And so,
the confidential part, too, you know?
Right. So that was very helpful for me and meaningful, and just gave me the structure that I needed. And I had never had a coach at that point, so it was a new experience for me. So just finding out that there's somebody out there that can help you put all the pieces together and keep them together and
keep them rolling
and talk to. Exactly.
Nice.
Keep all the plates spinning and the balls in the air.
Yeah. Without falling, right? Yeah, that's nice.
Exactly.
I'm happy to hear that that helped you at that time in your career and that it turned into a coaching
Definitely.
Opportunity for you to get into the mm-hmm. profession. That's a great story. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, it was wonderful.
So tell us a little bit about as your coach offered you an opportunity. And then, hi, Bruce.
All right. Okay, good.
Hello.
Hey.
There he is.
There I am. Finally.
Little technical, right?
Yep.
Issue.
Love technology.
Yes, don't we? So tell us a little bit about as you got started coaching. You had all this good business experience. You were a natural at it. You liked helping people. So you were already doing it, you know, in your role, in your different roles. And then you were coached.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you started and how that felt and what your experiences were.
You know, it was great because it really did just expand on what I was used to doing naturally in my corporate environment. But it was the job. It wasn't just something you did on the side. So it was the entire purpose of where, you know, what I was doing at the time. So really getting to focus on helping other people, and that is really all you do, is just incredibly satisfying. So
it is,
and then helping
yes.
and watching everyone succeed and reach whatever goals it is. It could be, you know, making tons of money. It could be working less, making the same money, but spending more time with your family. So it was just nice to see all of that.
Right. The work-life balance thing is really important too. I'm a big believer in that. So that's nice. So, and did you do some training or background in terms of training for coaching? How did that work for you? Or
it was just with the executive coach that I had worked with. She is an incredibly successful business coach. And I did not go through any certifications outside of her
formal training, right.
methodology. Right. And we did everything from individual coaching, one-on-one coaching, to some group programs. In fact, I ended up being her virtual COO as well. So it kind of all plays into each other.
Right. So, well, your experience lent itself well to that. Yeah, that's cool.
Exactly. So I helped create coaching dashboards and things like that that helped keep our clients organized. So.
And how did that work? I mean, in terms of them following through on the projects that they were working on and communicating to you guys as coaches?
Well, it was great because it was a way to help us track where they were and what they were doing. Percentage to goal, you know, every daily activity that you're supposed to do, have you done it? Have you checked that box? And, we coach within 100-day processes, and there's a checkbox for every day. And my operations brain loves that. I love checking boxes and, you know, getting things done. So, and seeing progress. So, and it, at what point do people hit momentum in the process? So it was helpful to everybody.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So you were able to develop some programs that helped the clients stay focused and on track.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cool. Very good. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing currently.
Well, I am, I do hands-on business operations consulting. I help people with areas of their business that they need help with. As I told you earlier, in coaching my clients, I could always see where they needed help in their business. They were working with me on making more money, for example, and sometimes we would exceed those expectations, but they kept backstepping and just trying to figure out why that was happening. More often than not, it was because they didn't have either the systems, the processes, procedures, or people in place to help them manage. Like, it's like a company getting their first huge contract, which is amazing, but how are you going to manage that? How are you going to service that contract? And if you don't have the back office, as I'll call it, help and structure, you're going to lose it. So I love helping people get business, but keep it.
Right. And
that helps explain it, yeah.
Yeah, when you and I were talking pre-show, you were talking about how a lot of people can be very successful, but they backtrack because they really don't know how to set up a business and how to keep a business going, and probably through the growth phases too, as if the structure is not in place, the infrastructure, or like you said, I heard you say, the right people in place, systems, processes, protocols are really important. Let's talk a little bit about the people. What has been in your experience in terms of when they don't have the right people in place, or maybe they're not on board yet?
Well, and another thing associated with that, they may have the people, or whether if they're a solopreneur, they have an assistant, but they are too scared to let them do anything.
Delegation.
Right. And take a very successful lawyer, for example, they may go out on their own. So they're the first time solopreneur. Very successful at being a lawyer and getting clients, writing briefs, whether it's litigation or whatever. But I would work with them, and sometimes some of the issues would be, I just don't feel like I'm making any money. And I'm like, well, let's look at why that is. You have all of these amazing clients. Come to find out, they weren't doing their billing, or they weren't letting their assistant help them with billing. And so, utilizing their clients. And super successful people, and I'm going to throw myself in this, sometimes they're a little type A.
You think?
You don't want to delegate so how could someone else possibly do anything better than I can?
And right.
I don't want to let them do it because I'm just going to have to do it over anyway. And, I'm over-exaggerating, but it's helping them work through, like you said, the delegating, even training their assistants or office managers or whatever it is to do that work. So that
it's hard for type A's to let it go. Yes, you described that very well. It's very hard for them to let go.
Mm-hmm.
The control.
And I've run into that just in so many different areas. I had an electrical contractor that I was working with. Same way. I'm like, so where are you keeping track of your expenses and time on different projects. And he's like, well, they're all on sticky notes in my truck. I'm like, oh my gosh. So,
that's how a lot of people run their business.
Yeah. So just getting people, the people and the team that they need, and getting those people trained and helping them work together and, you know, coaching them through the process of that. And they're all at different stages. You know, I could work with 10 different lawyers and they're all at different, you know, levels in their career, and their businesses have 10 different issues. So it's really working with them and coaching them through, where is it that you do have gaps? Where do you need help? How can I help you train your people?
Right. And even hiring people. Some people are even afraid to take that first step, bringing somebody on board when they really need the support. They're doing too much admin back office and not enough front. You know what I mean?
Right. They're working too hard and too many hours. Yeah.
Right,
too
right.
much doing the business when they should be out rainmaking and bringing in the business and let their team handle all of that.
So, yeah. So how much resistance?
And that's exactly where my brain couldn't turn off when I was just doing executive coaching. So I had to start helping them do that.
Right, right. That's how you, what you said, you lean towards the business operation. How resistant are some of your clients to actually doing that, to like stop doing it all and bring people in to support them?
Very
resistant.
It depends on what they do, what their business is. But some of them just don't even realize what they're doing. So usually it's just a matter of kind of explaining what you see as the coach and how, and then showing them how amazing it could be once they do let go of those things. Because a lawyer shouldn't be sending faxes. That's an $8 an hour activity. They should be billing somebody $300-$500 an hour and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Not that anyone sends faxes anymore, but you know what I mean. So
just kind of
putting it into that perspective and a monetary value associated with it. They're like, oh my gosh, why am I doing these things?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're already paying somebody.
Right, right. And they keep doing the work instead of letting them do their job, right? Yeah.
Right.
So, so tell us some of the other things that you fall in love with doing. You know, what's your favorite part of business operations coaching?
Oh gosh, really, it's just helping people set up the processes. Like I said before, I love checking boxes and making sure things are in place and. You know, just knowing that once that is done for somebody, whatever it is, it could be an HR issue or even an accounting issue. Not that I want to be a CPA or play one on TV, but I know, you know, helping them set up, how do I pay my bills or when should I pay my bills and when should I do my billing? Just those basic things. Once that's in place, because there's a fear with a lot of people that, especially with something like accounting and HR, because oh my gosh, I don't have any idea how to do that. It can't be easy. It's got to be completely overwhelming. So I'm just going to ignore it until. And just helping them through that process and them kind of having that aha moment of, oh wow, you know, I can hire someone to do that, or my assistant can already do those things. It just makes their life so much easier and you see this weight lifted.
Right. So it's
really
simplifying it.
How would you differentiate what you do? It sounds like it's almost consulting rather than coaching.
Maybe a combo of both.
Yeah, it is, because initially I work with them on what the issue is, and we even work through how to fix the issue. And sometimes I do come in and actually do the project. But then even once the project's done, they need the people in their office to do that, because I'm not going to be there forever. So they need the coaching and training on how to use this process, or, you know, even if something as simple as a form, or, you know, knowing what the next steps are. Like, we have this in place now, but at what point do we need this, this, and this? So just kind of being there and coaching them through. And training their people sometimes. And like you said earlier, Cindy, sometimes even helping them figure out what people they need.
Right. what team members are important and where they're at and what stage of the business they're at. You know, it sounds to me, Joan, like, and I know, Bruce, we've talked about this before with previous guests and amongst ourselves. You know, we're trained to do coaching, and coaching is to, you know, get in there and figure out what somebody wants. Where do they want to go? What's the problems? You know, what are they trying to solve? And, you know, what their vision is, and really digging in deep to find out what it is they really, really want and where they want to go. But when you are working in a business setting, you know, you also are consulting. You have, you know, a corporate background in business operations. You have that expertise. You also train. So you, it's sort of like, I always refer to it as taking off one hat and putting the other on. And so sometimes we do fluctuate between roles under the umbrella of a coach, you know. And Bruce, exactly. I know you do this as well in the coaching you do, and I know I certainly do in my business coaching as well as in my nutrition and wellness coaching. So I'm definitely considered an expert with expertise that I am sharing with my clients. So I think it's all about being comfortable moving between those roles, and it's all about servicing the person who's sitting in front of you. It's all about them and what their needs are. So is that what you were getting at, Bruce?
Yes, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like you roll between those roles, Joan.
Yes. And you know what? The business owners, they have to do that themselves, because
absolutely,
they may be an expert at what they do, but now they're a business owner and they need to, you know, figure out how to balance those two things. So, but not get wrapped up in it so that they can't do what they started the business for to begin with.
So. Exactly. What they're passionate about, right? So a lot of times people start a business and they love what they do, but, you know, I hear it all the time. You know, I'm coaching people through the launch phase, and they really resist all the business side of it. You know, a lot of them very, very talented, but resist the business side of the business. And you can't resist it. I mean, you know, the business side has to get done. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's part of the picture, you know? So you can only resist it so long until you have to really accept that that's part of what you have to do. And if you can't do it all, then you get the right people in place to support you.
Yeah, because the one thing you don't want to happen is you don't want them to get completely discouraged and not want to do it anymore because they've lost why they're doing it to begin with.
So. Because because if they focus on the things they, you know, it's the same old thing, you know, like it's nice to get the expertise to do it all. You know, if you're starting a business in the early years and you really want to understand it, you want to do it all, but you can't do it all forever. And even in the corporate role, you know, world, you're in different executive roles or whatever, you know, I always believe people have to play to their strengths and get the support on the things they, because if you're doing what you hate, you're going to burn out eventually. You know,
yeah,
to get
quickly,
you know what I mean? That and you can do that in the corporate world, and you can do it in your own business, where you burn out doing the things you really don't enjoy doing, and you're not really doing the things you started the business to, you know, for the reasons.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can get people like past that and putting those processes and protocols and systems in place and getting the support they need, tell us a little bit about how that feels to people when they really push through to that point.
Oh, it's amazing, because they get back to why they started doing it to begin with. And that's when you can almost refocus on executive coaching, helping them do more of what they do to begin with. And knowing that when they do bring in those amazing clients that they just love working with and want to continue to work with, that they can do that and that they know and don't ever have to worry about keeping that business. They know they have the team and the processes in place to support it and to service their clients in the way that they need to be serviced. So, you know, it no longer keeps them up at night. And, you know, that's why we all do what we do. It's like, everyone has something that keeps them up at night, but we don't want that to be the thing. It's just great seeing them finally, again, like a weight has lifted, and like, okay, this is why I did this. So let's
They're breathing easier.
More of the, So
yeah, that's nice. That's nice to give them that relief. So you do relief coaching. So typically, how long? Yeah, I mean, because that's a big thing to move somebody to that point where they're actually doing the thing they're passionate about and they're good at, right? How long do you generally, I heard you say a 100-day process at one point. How long do you generally work with a client, or what's the initial commitment time?
You know, it really just depends on the project and the issues that they're having. The 100-day program is a coaching program, executive coaching program. But on the consulting, the operations, the business side of it, when I do their coaching, it really depends on what the issue is. I've done some in 30 days. I've done some that lasted, you know, ongoing for like a year and a half.
Right.
Especially when there's, you know, when they don't have a team and they need, I worked with a client where they were shutting down one firm and starting a new firm. So there was all this overlap for a long, continuous time.
Mm-hmm. A lot to manage,
reconciliation. Right. So that was a much longer project, I'll call it, than, you know, just coming in and helping somebody. Like I worked with a 30-year-old manufacturing facility that had never had an HR department. And, you know, they kept having issues with people showing up at the office manager's desk wanting a paycheck when they didn't even know who they were. So people getting hired and the payroll person not knowing. So just, you know, putting those processes in place didn't take a year and a half. It was a matter of, you know, 30 days and then training the people that needed to know about it, how to use it, what to do, when to do it. And, you know, I moved on.
That sounds really open-ended. How do you structure your payment if there's not a, so this is kind of interesting territory, if there's not a real, sounds like it's an amorphous due date that kind of gets done when we're ready to be done. Did you have an hourly rate that you billed it, or how did you charge the for the engagement?
In those situations, I do, but it's also, this was several years ago. I think it was 60 days, and I would go in and work with them and did the training. And it was also a situation where we didn't know if at the end of the day they were going to need to hire someone new or just have existing staff manage this process. And going mm-hmm. through that process, we worked out that it would be fine to have just existing staff handle it. So
nice.
But that was just like 60-day short-term thing. So easy, great fix for them. And even though it was a 6-day project, it was an hourly fee. So did that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. So okay. Just that back end argument, just how you would kind of structure the engagement or structure the contract going into a situation where, you know, you would kind of sort of have a tentative right. due date. And would you invoice as you went mm-hmm. when it was multiple months? And then kind of
get that that's payment? What I would do.
Mm-hmm. How do you generally set your contracts up or your proposals up? Are they typically hourly, or are some of them by the month? How do you typically do
some
it?
Are retainers, some right. are hourly. And I don't think I've even mentioned this. I work with self-published authors too and help them with their books. So making sure I don't coach them through writing a book. There's amazing people that do that. I don't do that. But just making sure that they're treating their book like a business. So there are certain things that I can do, and I have different packages, and it's retainer-based. And I do, you know, certain assigned activities and work with them and just make sure that they have the business side set up so that they can treat it like a business, as it should be. So.
Interesting. How long have you been doing the book side of coaching?
A little over a year.
Nice, nice. That's interesting. I've known people that do that.
Yeah, because the coach that I work with, that I was a virtual COO, she's also a prolific, amazing self-published author. So back then, I saw that side of self-publishing back when it wasn't cool. So I saw the right. back end of Amazon and all these things. So I have unique knowledge and how to help do certain things. It's mostly implementation, because like I said, there are amazing author coaches out there that do the details of all that. So I'm like the implementation coach for self-published authors.
So that would be a little more like somebody who's got the book done and just putting it to print and the self-publication process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, launch, all of the marketing, the bill, you know, everything that needs to be in place. So, yeah.
Cool.
It's fun. I love it. So
nice. It's fun when you do coaching. I mean, we get to work with so many different interesting people and from all walks of life, and it's, you know, it keeps it really interesting, and it's always about helping them move things forward personally or professionally. How about when you coach people on the business side? How do you weave in some personal coaching, personal development coaching? How does that work for you?
Yeah, because I've always told everybody, especially when I was strictly doing executive coaching, that I'm not so much a life coach. I'm an executive coach. But I don't think you can ever coach anybody in their business without it flowing back and forth between their personal life. Because typically people are either wanting to make more money for whatever reason, to go on vacation, buy a bigger house, whatever. But sometimes things that are going on at home affect what's going on at the office. So it's...
Right.
It's all encompassing, but the initial reason why they engage me is because of business. But we talk about everything. There's no, that's off limits or, you know, anything like that. But it does.
Right.
It's your work and life are kind of one little ecosystem that work together.
Yeah, that's my experience. Exactly how you described that is mm-hmm. that it. Sometimes you have to do the personal coaching in order to clear things so that they can get back on focus on the business side. So I totally agree
right.
with you. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
It
sometimes.
Helps you as a coach understand why something is happening. Why is this going on? Why are you always late to work? Why are, you know, things like that happen? And kind of finally getting the backstory on something that may be going on at home mm-hmm, mm-hmm. really helps you help them.
Yeah, and I've had clients where they'll give me the surface story of certain personal sides to their life, and then all of a sudden they'll need a whole session to take a deep dive because it's become such a big issue in their life that they really have to clear it and make some decisions mm-hmm. moving forward. So, yeah, that's definitely how I see it. It rolls back and forth. How about you, Bruce? You find the same thing? When you do executive business coaching?
A lot of mine is all personal related. I don't necessarily help businesses. But I do help businesses function better. But the reason mm-hmm. why I'm there is because of a personal issue.
And, personal stuff, right.
Yeah. I mean, so that dictates the whole engagement, you know, is... overcoming some sort of personally mediated block, circumstance, mm-hmm. or even almost like a critical incident, stress debriefing, post some sort of trauma. So yeah.
Definitely in a row. Yeah, yours starts there.
I've even had companies contact me when they're like, you know what, we have an amazing producer in our office, but they do not play well in the sandbox with anyone else in the office.
Right.
And we need to figure out how to change that behavior or let them go. So I've been asked, can you just come and find out what's really going on? Because again, no one in the office is going to hear the real story, and a coach can come in and really get into that with that person without the thought of, oh my gosh, everyone's going to find out what my business is. So
exactly. That's mm-hmm. and they can dig deeper over time because, you know, it's all about trust, confidentiality, discretion, trust. And mm-hmm. once you have their confidence, you can really get in and do some good work with people. Whereas, you know, an HR person, a boss, a coworker, a supervisor, they're going to hold back. You know, they're going to be afraid of what to reveal and what to not, you know.
Because that all goes in your file.
Exactly.
You know, I recently had a case where the person was a high producer, but they also had a form of autism. And part of the coaching was actually reshaping the company so that they could do their job. It started like where he's going to fit to our mold, but then we were able to do a carve out where the company could fit to their mold.
Right. That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
they misdiagnosed this guy. He had failed other coaching engagements, but once I kind of found out that he was fairly autistic, we were able to kind of reroute this thing and get this guy flying more. So that was really good where, you know, in that case, it was more of a clinician's eye with the coaching process. So it was a really good melding of some.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's a good combo. It's a good combo.
And then this, in the next pass, I'll be doing some post-threatening types of things. So for companies that have been through a critical incident or a threat episode. And then actually coaching HR through the next steps of a threat assessment and those things and how to do that. So it's, it is coaching on the backside of that. So it's amazing how wide open this thing is. Coaching now starts to open up like a flower, not just startup or this or that and the other. And Joan, I was going to tell you, I have a book that came out on CreateSpace. I ran out of money. I just got a single colored cover. And I was like, dang, now I'm here to say all this stuff that you did. Man, I could at least, had some marketing or some baseline stuff with it, I was just, like other authors, I was exasperated. It's a 511-page book. I'm freaking done with this thing. And just to get it out.
Oh, wow.
And that was back in the day where it was just pleasing just to see it listed on Amazon. And if you create, you do stuff on CreateSpace, Amazon treats that more friendly since it's their company. I think there's a niche right there in terms of marketing those services to authors. Because I notice a lot in the coaching seminars, right? I wrote a book. Everybody's written a book. And they're going to write a book. And to have that back-end piece might make it more successful.
Oh, exactly. Like it's in speaking engagements. It's a whole other realm of income, but it's like anything else. They get into it thinking, oh, I need a book. It's easy. I'll just write the book. They don't realize the depth and breadth of activity that needs to happen to get a book published. Even with self-publishing, there's still a lot of involved. And a lot of people just don't have the time to do it. So they need help with that, or even just talking through what are the next steps and when do I do anything and who can help me with it? So.
Well, and then the marketing of it, it's got to be a whole nother ballgame just to get it marketed.
It is. There's pricing strategies and structures, launch. I mean, it's a lot. So, but again, I have little check sheets. I have, boxes to check and
what you love to do.
Oh, yeah. I know. Isn't that crazy?
No, I love it. I'm a big to-do list person, and I just love crossing stuff off my to-do list. So I totally get it.
Yeah. And you work with startups, so you completely get it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, it's moving things forward. It's getting it done. I love that. So I'm happy to hear that you provide that service, too, as well for people who are trying to publish a book and get the book done and then what, right? They probably most don't know what comes after the then what, right?
Exactly. Now what do I do with all these pages?
That's cool. So what's some of the most exciting clients that you're currently working with?
Give us an example of somebody who you worked with and what they did and kind of highlight some of the processes you utilized that got them to the great level or to the next good level?
Well, I've talked about a few, but the one that I am currently working with is a wealth manager. And having recently moved to a new firm from another firm, you can imagine the different processes and things that they have to have in place when they bring on these high net worth clients to make sure that their money goes in all of the right places. So working with her, I'm a huge proponent of whiteboards as well. Just give me a whiteboard and I'm a happy person. So just whiteboarding on, what needs to happen and what are the triggers? When someone gives you a bucket of money, what has to happen? And it depends on if it's, I can't even speak what, financial planner speak half the time. So it's all of these things, that can trigger other things. And we put in place processes and checklists for her and her clients and her office staff so that nothing was missed. And it took months, but it was very informative. I learned a lot, but it just, the ease that it put on her, on, this is one of those things, it was keeping her up at night. She's like, oh my gosh, you know, in a minute and a half, I'm going to get all these clients, and I just don't want anything to happen to where things get, you know, dropped through the cracks.
Right.
Things get missed. And you can imagine with financial planning and wealth management, there's just an unending, you know, list of things that can happen. So working with her on getting all of that in place, and also working through at what point does she need to hire the next person, and then the next, and the next. So we have like a progression. And it was literally whiteboarding with them because, like I said before, everyone is at a different place in their business. It could be 10 different wealth managers, but they're all at a different place and they need help with different areas. So whiteboarding it, talking through, and kind of coaching them through the operations side of it, and, you know, just coaching on how to manage people and a team. So that was incredibly rewarding, and I'm still working with her ongoing.
That's nice.
Just on whenever the next phase hits, kind of a process. So
it sounds, with
everybody.
Yeah, it sounds like you're able to be very nimble and sort of jump in at any point in somebody's business and get them where they need to be. So it sounds like you work with all different businesses, but not just at the inception or the launch, but different phases of the development of their businesses.
Yeah, and the good news is I'm not a CPA. I'm not, you know, all of these, but I can tell when there are gaps. And I have an incredible network, so I'm able to bring in other people who, as you know, and all coaches have amazing networks, and that's,
right,
I think, what is extremely helpful for a lot of our clients, is that we know the people that they need, and usually when they need them. So we can put them
missing,
in touch,
right,
with, yeah, here's your HR expert, or here's someone you need to hire, or whatever it is, I can say, okay, pretty soon this is going to be an issue, so start talking with this person. Or if you have somebody in your network, start talking to them about that and making sure that you guys are on the same page and know when you need to engage them.
Right.
So
fabulous. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
Right.
No,
it's
awesome.
Crazy, but I love it.
I know. It's like, you know, you said it right from the beginning. I think you said, I don't even know if Bruce was on yet, but that you just love helping people and that heart to serve, you know, when you were in the corporate world and now as an executive coach and now further developed into just business operations, it's really about helping people. And that to me is what coaching is all about, you know, asking the right questions and, you know, having that ability to get just underneath it, you know, to see what their needs really are and help them get there.
Yes, definitely.
See, I won't be that honest. I'm like a builder fixer, you know what I mean? I mean, I have to remind myself to hold back. And John, you're laughing. Aren't you?
Gear back? You mean that's not so good? Not so good at gearing back, Chris?
I mean, it's just, you know, trying to make things a little better, you know, make things a little better and each... with each time or each week or whatever, just getting just a little bit better. You know what I mean? Just
yeah,
a little bit better. And so I get a lot of, I get a lot of joy out of seeing the results of that, you know, and, just
I think joy is a good word. I think joy is a good word.
Yeah.
It is joyful to see people make progress, solve problems.
I just did a process consultation for a rehab facility, we'll say, and man, they were certainly in a space. And then, you know, I spent a good several days going through all the policy procedures and the people and the staff and the scheduling and the location and position descriptions. And so really, you know, it was more of a process consultation when coaching. But man, when I left, I'm like, wow. And then I got to see kind of the new iteration of what they look like, you know. It was just so much better, you know, than it was before, you know, I got down there. And so anyway, it's always just so much fun to It's like when you have those foggy headlights and you buy that thing on TV and you just swipe it. Whoa, my headlights are clear. Again.
Yeah.
I can see.
Yeah. Yep. And I try to tell people it's progress, not perfection. So as long as you're moving forward or in the right direction, you don't have to be perfect on day
two. That's right.
Just keep making progress. And that's what's important.
Keep checking the boxes, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, one box at a time, right? One box at a time. Yeah, just don't quit. It. You know, a lot of people quit before. You know, that's one of my passions is like, push through. Don't quit. You know, a lot of people stop. You know, they want a business so bad and they give up because it gets hard, you know. And that's where coaching can boost the morale and help them get to the next level so that they can achieve the goals they set out to do. You know, it's important. So I'm happy to hear you're out there helping people do that. That's really great.
Thank you. Super cool.
Thank you for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, make sure you give. Why don't you give our listeners your contact information and website and all that good stuff, Joan?
My website is joanrichardson.com. My company name is JCR Enterprises, but my website is joanrichardson.com. And then, of course, I have a Facebook page, which is JCR Enterprises. But I'm everywhere. Twitter everywhere, so I don't think it will be hard to find me. Yeah.
Oh, good. So nice to have you on today, Joan. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for inviting me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So welcome. Maybe you can touch back base with us on another show someday. Keep us posted as how you're progressing.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Joan.
All right. Well, there it is, folks. Another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio yet again. You know, I mean, we've had other folks in the business space, and they talked about what they did. But you know what? I think Joan has her own, right, kind of unique.
Her own little niche.
Inspiration, and that's just, right? God, man, I just love seeing that because everybody's like a snowflake, you know. We have different things. It's true, though, right? Yeah, I know. So we can do different things, and we can be ourselves, and have a great career, and just live a more self-focused life, man. So I just love that. When I was talking to her, you know, I'm the one that found her. I'll take credit for it. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, I was like, wow, that's just awesome, and share that with our listeners, and I'm so glad that she got to come on. And,
yeah, she was awesome.
And so, yeah, don't feel free to contact her if you have any business venture or book, man. I almost want to write a book just so she can help me. Anyway.
There you go.
All right, folks, you can reach me at Cameron Coaches. We have our page on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show. And Cindy, what's your contact info?
It can be reached on my website at wisdomfoods.com and also directly at 714-943-6206. I hope everybody has a fabulous Tuesday.
And we'll see you here next time on another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Have a good week, everybody.
Over and out. Thanks.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand only on LA Talk Radio.